going to speak about this afternoon, my title is Temptation. Temptation. Now, with that is a spring holiday subject, if I ever saw one, because Christ, of all things that come up during this time of year, was temptation. Now, I won't go deep into all of that, but temptation. When I began to look at this subject, I looked at the meaning of the word, and I went here, and I went there, and I went this dictionary, I went to that dictionary, and the thesaurus, and I went here and there, and I just couldn't make sense of it. Now, we always equate temptation while I'm looking at the other sex, man against woman, woman and looking at man or whatever, but that's not the case. So what I did, I narrowed it down, and the reason I did is because I read the I got a little plaque on my desk that says the Ten Commandments. So my definition, Don Erickson's definition of temptation, that anything that tempts us to do evil, to go against the commandments of God, anything that tempts us to do evil. Now, I want you to remember that because that's important, that word evil. Because when you look at the Ten Commandments, we can be tempted to have other idols. We can be tempted to break the Sabbath. And I want the young people, I advise you to listen to this sermon because it applies to everybody. We can be tempted to steal. We can be tempted to commit adultery. So I included the Ten Commandments and said anything that tempts us to do evil against the commandments is temptation. We're being tempted. I put in my notes here, the temptation is not the sin unless we take it to a higher level. The temptation is not the sin. If we take it to a higher level, then it becomes sin. I want us to remember that. To a higher level, we become enticed, then seduced, then take action. Sin is the result. So there's where the words come in, seduced. We're being seduced and being enticed. So you get that flavor of sexuality there. But that's not the only temptation we face. Every day we walk out of the house, we face temptation. And it's not just one thing, it's maybe two things. It could be a half a dozen things that we face every single day of our life, and especially if we're called. Now, I read the scripture, and I want you to turn there in Hebrews 4, verse 15. Jim read it. I'm going to read it again. He actually read a couple of my scriptures, but it won't hurt to read them again. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4, verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Now, brethren, that's not us. That's Christ. That's not us. We're tempted. And we commit sin. We commit sin. I put in my notes here, our nature is so filled with carnality, which determines how we view situations when we are tempted. We view it from a carnal human nature. Christ didn't have that. He says he was tempted in all ways. I put one more sentence here. We must prove to God as Christians that we can walk away from temptation. We must show God that we can walk away from temptation. When we are tempted, we are going to be tempted again, maybe in the same thing, maybe something different. We must prove to God that we can walk away. And really, what it is a test of faith, and it's a test of our character. It's a test of our character also. Now, I'm going to answer you three questions. Very simple for the days of unleavened bread, for the time we're going at and right now. I'm going to answer three questions pertaining to temptation. Three questions. First one is this. What makes us vulnerable to temptations? What makes us vulnerable to temptations? What is it that, why are we so vulnerable to temptation. I got to put this water down, spill it on my notes, and I'll have to walk down from here also. Now, Genesis chapter 3, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. Genesis chapter 3, and verse 5 through 7. Now, we really want us to zero in on why we are like we are. Maybe you haven't thought of it, maybe you have, but I want us all of us during these days now, to zero in and see where did it come from. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 5 through 7, it says, and he's talking about the tree of good and evil, so they were warned about that. They were tempted. Satan come along and tempted them. It says in verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That wasn't their prerogative. That wasn't their prerogative to know that. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant for the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of it and ate. So she broke down, she failed right there, point blank. She failed the course, she passed, didn't pass the test. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So this is where we came from. Those same characteristics are where we came from. We make the choice of good and evil every day. The same traits are in us. Believe me, they're in us. Believe me, they are in us, these traits that they were back in the Garden of Eden. And they make us, according to what I read, I think it was in Matthew Henry commentary, they make us actively evil. They make us actively, I don't know, I can't remember where I got that word, but it makes us actively evil. We want to be evil. We want to look for evil. That wasn't our prerogative. That was God's prerogative. We should have no say in that. But what it did, it set the course for us. So now, I'm getting a little louder here, but I really, when I was reading this morning again, I get a little irritated at our first parents. What were they doing? Why didn't they listen? Well, what it did is subjected us to this life of this temptation and evil and everything that goes on in this world. I hope these days just bring us out of this world. So far, we don't ever want to go back in and be tempted by evil. We all are going to be tempted, young, old, doesn't matter how old we are going to be tempted. And we put that in our minds during these days of unleavened bread, and we keep them there until we go into the Feast of Pentecost, and on we go. By reason of descent, these traits inhibit us or make us choose. And we become vulnerable, and that's where I get a little angry. Not to the point where I'm going to start messing with this podium or anything. But it makes us choose. It makes us choose. It didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. We have to choose. Is that temptation? If you think it is, like it says in James 5:14, then it is temptation. And we better be aware of it as we go through these days of unleavened bread. And when I talk about being active in evil, I'll read you some scriptures that show that. They were written in the New Testament for us in Mark chapter 7 and verse 20 through 23. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 through 23. This shows us that we as human beings with God's Spirit are actively evil. To a point, I'll back up just a little bit. We have that covering that Christ gave us when we partook of the Passover, and he covered us. Adam and Eve didn't have that. They had the physical covering. We have the spiritual covering, that covering that goes along with it. I didn't finish reading that in Genesis. But and as we go along and we receive God's Spirit and we're forgiven our sins, like it was read last night in Romans 3, verse 20, that they're washed away, they're done away with. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. And he said, Christ said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye. I put that in yellow. You know why I did? Because the eye is evil. When it looks at something that it wants to have, that I need that, so that eye is roving around. Every day we get up, we open our eyes, we go outside, and our eye is roving around. What is going to tempt me today? So I put that in yellow. He said in verse 23, all these evil things, that's part of our traits, come from within and they defile a man. Defile in the Greek means this, a person who is capable of being actively evil. And if we think we are not capable of being actively evil, we are wrong. We are capable of that. And don't ever forget that, because we are capable of going down that road to not being only tempted, but to do evil. And what did I put here? Satan is the evil one. Okay, by their one action, they condemned the world to looking at evil in the wrong way. They make us think it's okay to carry around this temptation. Well, it's not. It's not okay to carry around temptation. There's ways, I'll read you later on, where we can work at it to get rid of those temptations. We're in the days of unleavened bread now, so we want to make sure that we come out of these days of unleavened bread with a clean heart and at least trying to be unspotted from the world. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. This has to do with the commandments. I think Jim mentioned that. He didn't read it, but I'll read it. We have the commandments there. But even with the commandments, Paul understood in Romans 7 that we are capable of being actively evil. We can be tempted and we can do evil. We can do evil, whether we like that statement or not. That is a fact. We are all capable of doing that. All capable. Romans 7, verse 8 through 15. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. So the commandments come along, and they said, no, you don't do this, you don't steal. You honor your father and mother, you keep the commandments, you don't have false gods, you don't take God's name in vain. So it produces in us this evil desire. Why can't I do that? Why can't I get smart with my parents and disobey them? Why can't I do that? That's foolishness. But the commandments came along and nailed that down, put them in front of our face, and says, here they are. Now you got to listen to the commandments, and you got to do them, and you can't be tempted to go against the commandments. Let's read on. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring me life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Did you read that? It deceived me. I looked at the commandment and I said, I can't do that. But we have to do that because we're called. We have God's Spirit, so we have no way out. Okay, let's read on. Verse 12, therefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. So if anybody tells you the law is done already, you can quote that scripture to them. Verse 13, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, when we look at it, it might appear sin, for it was producing in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might be exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual. We know that the law is spiritual. Christ came to magnify the law, to make it make sense to our head, so we could see it and we could say, no, if you lust after that, and you want to be tempted on that, and you don't do away with that temptation, it's not going to work. Let's read on, verse 14. Verse 15, for what I am doing, I do not understand. I do not understand. Do you ever say that to yourself? Well, I just don't understand that. Well, what am I doing? Well, the law says I shouldn't be doing it, but I do it, but I don't understand why I do it. Why we do it is because there's evil in us. It's there. It's our traits and our genes. It's what we are, who we are. Thankfully, we have God's Spirit. I was going to get up here and say, boy, thanks for the holy days. Oh, my. I was at that Passover the other night, and I said, I put my head down and I started praying. I actually got emotional about it. Somebody else behind me was doing the same thing. But thanks be to God we have the holy days. They bring us out and grab us by the shoulder and say, look, get with it. Look at yourself. If you're going out there and you're looking around, and I'm not talking sexual sins only, I'm talking anything that tempts us along the way to take us away from the commandments and take us away from God, like Dave read in the offertory, and who God is, a great God that we serve. Anything that does that, we better be looking at during these days of unleavened bread. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. And I say amen to that. Pardon me. I say amen to that. What I hate is what I do. And just because I'm a little older, just a little bit, than everybody else, doesn't mean I don't run across this. We have to learn to hate evil. Temptation brings evil. It brings an evil thought in our mind. And that was read earlier. It brings evil thoughts. And they are not good for us, brethren. For a Christian, they are not to be in our minds. We have to work on them. And that's why we're here, keeping the days of unleavened bread. I put in my notes, without the spiritual covering provided by Christ, we are vulnerable even with the law. Even the spiritual covering that Christ put on us when he died and he came to the earth and he died and took our sins on his back, even with that, even with the law, we're vulnerable. Don't forget that, please. If you have a thought or a temptation, younger people, You get out amongst the groups and you see what's going on. And you have a temptation that you want to, boy, I wonder if that's temptation. Believe me, it's temptation if you're wondering about it. It's temptation if you look at it and say, oh boy, I wonder now, is that something that I should be looking at? Or maybe it's a new car. Well, they probably wouldn't mind that. They got a new car or something to that effect. That's a good thing to be tempted about if you can make the payments, but if you can't, well, then you're in trouble. Romans chapter 8, let's go and continue on about, again, this theme of the vulnerability of human beings to do evil. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. Book of Romans is a good book to read during the holy days. A very good book. It has to do with justification. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. What is the flesh, brethren? What is that? Could you define that for me? The flesh is our lower nature. That's what we don't want to flare up when we talk about temptation. The flesh is our lower nature. It wants to keep crowding in there, and you know where that comes from. You absolutely know. You don't have to do anything hard thinking on that. That's our lower nature that wants to crowd out. It'll come in there. You just start thinking about something that's good and pleasant, and you feel this presence of this thought moving in there. and we all have it. And you know where it's coming from. You know where it's coming from. It's our lower nature. Where did I stop here? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, verse 2, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For, again, the covering, the spiritual covering. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son for us. Do not forget that. 2015, the message is the same. The message is the same. For what the law could not do is weak through the flesh. I just read that. He condemned sin in the flesh. So Christ came, made a spiritual covering, and he condemned sin in the flesh. Hooray for that. Hooray for that. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. Where would we be? We wouldn't be sitting here talking about sin and taking sin out of our life. He condemned that sin in our flesh because we're flesh and blood and we have this lower nature. I hate it. I actually hate it. Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. I put in my notes here, though we are tempted, God removed the condemnation if we walk according to the Spirit. Makes sense. Simple. Even though we're tempted, God removed the condemnation if we walk according to the Spirit. Number 2, what can it do to us? What can temptation do to us spiritually? What can it do? What harm can it do to us spiritually? Can it do any harm? James 1, verse 12 through 15, I'll read it again. Jim read it earlier. Well, it bears reading again because of a different context here. We're talking about temptation. He was talking about sin. Basically the same. James 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Why is that? Because God knows he's serious. He's not just taking it for granted that it's going to go away. He says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Well, when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Evil. God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one, here comes our responsibility now. When we look at this harm it can do for it. He says each one is tempted when he is drawn away, and that was one of the definition of temptation. You're drawn away, you're enticed, it looks good, you're seduced. That word seduced, I don't know. That's a pretty big word. That was all over the dictionary about being seduced. How in the world? Well, I guess you can. The Bible says you can. But our responsibility is this. Verse 15, then when the desire has conceived, so it, boom, up goes a little higher. It's conceived in our minds then, the temptation. It gives birth to the sin. It's a progression. It gives birth to the sin. Gives birth to the sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. You mean I'm going to die? Spiritually, we will die. You bet we will. If we let it grow and grow inside of us. Temptation is a huge, huge word, a huge word out of the English language. What defiles a person is his own actions. That's our responsibility. How far does he take the temptation? And if somebody says, I don't take temptation a little too far sometimes, I have to go up and put my hand on their forehead and say, what planet are you on? Because that's not the case. We take it to a higher level. Then all of a sudden this is sin. And so we can go and repent from God, and he gives us repentance, provides that covering. I said here, when called, we cannot blame Adam and Eve. I hope I didn't do that. If I did, I had to repent of that. can't blame Adam and Eve. God provided the covering, so we are without excuse. Romans chapter 6, what can it do to us spiritually? We know that, but I'm going to read these scriptures. I hope they sink into our minds during these days. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit did you have in these things, of which you are now ashamed? And the end of those things is death. Goes without saying, brethren. Goes without saying, the end of these things is death. Anybody that's called into the church, the exciting thing we've had lately, the baptism, I'll just detour a minute here. We had a baptism here last week in Jonathan Metzl, which is encouraging because then we see that here's another individual that sees his life from God's standpoint, that he can't fool around. He can't just mess around with it. If he's got a temptation, he's got to take care of that. He's got to take care of that. Let's read on. Verse 22, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and in the end, everlasting life. So we have that hanging out there that can destroy us. Temptation can, but also we have this out there that there's eternal life if we handle it properly. I can't encourage you enough to do it. I just can't. I just stand up here and I just shake my head because if we don't do it, then it's death. And it's spiritual death. It's not physical. That would probably be welcome other than the spiritual death. If we go down that road and go that far, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, we'll go back there just verse 6 through 9 now. I'm in the book of Romans a lot. I love the book of Romans. I hope you do too. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's exactly what I've been saying. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So our minds are just naturally carnal. If you don't think our minds are carnal, I'm sorry. I don't agree. We are as carnal as a snake, if that's possible. We are very, very carnal. We are capable of doing things that the average citizen would do, but the difference is that we are covered and we can go back to God and fast and pray and ask Him for forgiveness. That's why our calling is so important. That's why when I looked at Jonathan go down in the water, I was kind of emotional because here's a man that says, I want to do this. I want to do this. I have to do this. If I want to have eternal life, if you don't want to have eternal life, fine. Do it all. Do whatever we want. We can't do that. You know that. I know that. That isn't the meaning of these days. Now let's go into Matthew 15 and verse 18 through 20. He gives some instructions here. Just a couple of verses in Matthew 15, 18 through 20. Matthew 15, verse 18 through 20. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Come from the heart, and they defile a man. Whatever we do that comes out of this mouth and we're tempted, it defiles us. I remember making a study of that in the book of Matthew. There's a stain put on our character. We don't want a stain put on our character. So we read on here. He says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. I put here, man sees the deed, God sees the intention. Man sees the deed, God sees the intention. We see the deed, God knows our intention. Well, it's embarrassing. It really is. Sin and evil, temptations. It's an embarrassment to a human being to have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, am I that person can be tempted that way? Am I that weak in the faith? Am I going to flunk the test just like Adam and Eve did? Well, it's questions that we have to ask ourselves during these holy days. All right, number three is this. Here's a question I want to answer for you. What can we do to avoid temptation? What can we do to avoid temptation? Very simple. Sounds simple. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 through 13. I don't remember if Jim, he might have just quoted this, and I don't think he wrote it, read it, I should say. In this section, what he's covering here is the one thing we can do, which Israel did not do, the church in the wilderness, is do not challenge God by our own carelessness. Do not challenge God by our own carelessness, because we are careless human beings. We're capable of that. We are very capable of that. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 through 13, this is an example of that, the challenge of God. Verse 6, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. We've been through that already. Verse 7, do not become idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality, included in my previous comments, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Corey and I were sitting next to each other last night. I mentioned this, 23,000 fell. What does that tell you about God? What does that tell you? When he said 23,000 fell in one day, God is concerned about us spiritually, brethren, not so much physically. Remember that. Not so much physically. We're physical human beings. We're not here that long. What he's concerned about is our spiritual atmosphere and how we approach God and how we approach the Bible. Clayton and I were talking the way to church today. Can you imagine if God called David a man after his own heart? I cannot fathom that. But he did. He's concerned. He looked at his heart. And he's looking at our heart to see what we're doing. He's looking at us as we go through these spring holy days. Where was I? In verse 10, nor complain as some of them also complain, but were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happen to them as examples. For who? For us. Not for anybody else. Somebody could be sitting in the audience saying, what is he talking about? No, but we know the examples set by God. We know them, brethren. We can't fool around with them. We know if we challenge God by our carelessness, we're going to get in trouble. And that doesn't mean only spiritual trouble, but it'll go down the road and marriages and in child rearing and whatever it is. Our whole lives are wrapped up in this church. This church is everything to us. I hope the younger people grasp that at a young age. Maybe take steps toward baptism. But again, I have Jonathan on my mind. Now, all these things happen to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except it was common to man, but God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. That is if you deal with it. That is if you deal with it. If you just carry on with it, no big deal. No big deal. God, forgive me. I'll go pray and I'll ask for his forgiveness. Will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation. But with, now to look at the word with the temptation, they make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Adam and Eve didn't have a way out. They blew it. They failed the test. I put in my notes here, and I'm getting down to the end here, but I only have about 6 or 8 more scriptures, and by the time I get done, I'll be thrown out of the hall. Where was I at? Here's what I wrote down pertaining to the scripture. Scripture shows, brethren, that the people who enjoy the greatest privileges from God are never safe from temptation. We're never safe. Don't ever think we are, because we're never safe. Dangerous to say we have done everything God has required. Now we are okay. We're going to drift on by, and we're going to drift right into God's kingdom. The people with the greatest, who enjoy the greatest privileges, are never safe from temptation. We may think otherwise. I don't think we do. I think we're all very smart people. Very smart. I don't think we're that. When I say certain things, I hope they come across in the right way, because I never think that. Okay, Colossians 3, here's another thing we can do. Colossians chapter 3, here's a good scripture we can do, use to, when we're tempted. What can we do? Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. This is an excellent scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures. In verse 3, he says of Colossians 3, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. You come across a temptation, set your mind on things above. I like what Dave was mentioning about God in the offertory. Set your mind on God. He says, look up. He's what he wants us to do. Put on the thing, not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members. We do that, brethren, when we look up. When we say, God in heaven, what am I doing here? What is going on in my life? If you haven't experienced that, I don't know. That's pretty changeable world out there. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Romans chapter 8, I want to just go back for one verse in Romans chapter 8, in verse 5. I think it's verse 5 I had here, yes. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Here's the bottom line when I talk about what we can do. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And I put again here, where does our temptation come from? On our flesh, our lower nature. So what did we ask ourselves then? What is our mind set on? Is it on what we're seeing, we're looking at? Do we have an evil eye? Do you have an evil eye? I remember years ago in Pasadena, Mr. Blackwell brought that out about having an evil eye. Do we have an evil eye? Are we looking in the wrong direction instead of looking up and looking for God and asking Him for forgiveness and looking to Him for our help. It takes diligence on our part to keep close contact with God to know when we are being tempted. Let me repeat that. It takes diligence to know when we are tempted. We have to have that contact with God, and that is a job. He says, set your mind on God in heaven, on God in heaven. Two scriptures left here. Matthew 26, verse 38 through 41. Matthew chapter 26, verse 38 through 41. Christ speaking in here just before he's going to be crucified. And he said to them in verse 38, Matthew 26, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then came his disciples and He came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you fall or lest you enter into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, and that is in all of us. The Spirit is in all of us and is willing, but keep this in mind, along with that, the flesh is weak. That's what he says, the flesh is weak. So, that being the case, one last scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 13, I won't read all of it, gives us the tools that we have to use. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 13, and I say this to you too in this first day of unleavened bread. Finally, my brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Not only that, but in the power of His might. Set your eyes on God. You're being tempted. Set your mind on God. Be strong. I told somebody the other day, an older friend of mine, that says, don't give up on life. Be strong. I said that to somebody last night. Don't give up on life. Don't give up and say all is lost. We're not that kind of people. We have more promises than that. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and have done all to stand. So, brethren, as we keep these holy days, put it in our mind that we are going to be tempted, but to go to work on it and to don't just play around with it and just say, well, it's not that big a deal. It is a big deal to all of us. Christ died for us and we should take this just as serious as that. So.